As part of the promises which HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowers Moshe Rabbeinu with, the fifth one, we typically refer to them as the Arba Lashonos of Gula, V'hotzeisi, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti, but the fifth pasuk, which for various reasons isn't enshrined symbolically as part of those four kozos, V'avesi eschem ha'aretz asher nasasi es yodi laseis osa li'Avraham Yitzchak li'Yaakov, the promise to relocate them from the constrained environment of Mitzrayim to the land that he had sworn to deliver to the Avos, and that Hashem would give to them and gift to them as a heritage. Last year, in a previous year, I spoke about the word Marasha and what Chazal see in this qualifier or description of Eretz Yisrael. What's also interesting about this pasuk and the description of Eretz Yisrael is both the mention of a shvua, and in particular, the very graphic description of a shvua by Hashem, so to speak, lifting his hand. Now, in many respects, this association between Israel and the land that Hashem swore for us and to us, to our fathers, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is very unique to the context of Mitzrayim. They had lost hope. They had lost their horizons for Geula. They had been backbroken by multiple generations of slavery. So the promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had delivered to Moshe, and describing in poetic terms the beauty of the lands of Aschalav Devash, Eretz Tova Urchava, to Moshe, who was a prince, these made sense. To the Jewish people, they probably never ate honey in their lives. They perhaps never drank chalav. The notion of tova or chava was inspiring, but very unrealistic. So for them, the notion of loyalty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to deliver this land to their avos. And that possibly resonates in a manner that some of the more elegant images associated with Eretz Yisrael don't. It's also important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the Shvua and his loyalty to the Avos in very graphic terms. They can't understand, they have a sense of history, but one thing they don't have is a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had lost much of their theological foundation. Chazal speak of the Jewish people descending into the confusion of paganism alongside of their Egyptian fellow citizens or Egyptian taskmasters. They retain their name, they retain their language, they retain their sexual habits, but very little else. And Moshe is a bit baffled when Hashem dispatches him to describe the Yitzhiah, the redemption from Mitzrayim. Moshe is perplexed. Ma amar lechem. How will I describe you to them? Monotheism is a very complex religion and a very complex set of ideas. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and their clan helped mold over these ideas, but they had been forgotten over hundreds of years. They had a general sense. So Hashem tells Moshe, Ehayah She'erhayah, which at a literal level means just tell them stories of their grandparents, and I'm the God that their grandparents spoke of. And even if they can't latch on to the specific theological details, they'll have a sense of history and continuity. So the setting of Shmos and Ve'era is one in which the Jewish people as well are very underexposed to the notions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's monotheism and HaKadosh Baruch Hu being invisible. So in their minds, God is corporeal, God is physical. And the graphic image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifting his hand, Nasasi Es Yadi, is one that they can begin to identify with, even in their position of slaves, of slavery. To a degree, they also see the mighty force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand on display, Yad Chazakah, Yatsiyin Hashem Elokin Risham B'Yad Chazakah, as the Pasuk in Kisavo describes Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hine Yad Hashem, Hoye B'miknecha. So it wasn't just the Egyptians who had to be, so to speak, lessened in their own terms. They still think Hashem has a hand, but the Jewish people themselves. So it's not just that they're told of Eretz Yisrael as a land of a Shvuah, but it's a very graphic description as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lifting his hand. But of course, the reason that the lifting of the hand as an oath is described is not just to reinforce the Shvuah in identifiable terms, but to create a double entendre. If Hashem is lifting the hand, he's not just lifting it as an oath. He's also lifting people to that land. We're lifting reality and intervening with his hand. So the pasuk reads, Nasasi es yadi. Yeah, we all know that halachically, when you recite a shvuah, and then halachically, at least interactionally, you raise your hand to demonstrate loyalty and commitment. But the pasuk also means, I lifted my hand to relocate you into this land of Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim. It connotes supernatural intervention. It connotes removal. When you lift your hand, you're removing it from the floor and you're moving it to a higher plane, and then you put it down somewhere else, you relocate it. So it's a very graphic way to describe removing the population from Mitzrayim and replanting them or relocating them in Eretz Yisrael. And it suggests historical upheaval. It suggests geographic relocation. And of course, it's very relevant for the people in Egypt, but it's also reflective of all of our returns to Eretz Yisrael and all of our entries into Eretz Yisrael, that they're based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention in history, relocating his people, in particular, the first migration into Eretz Yisrael and the last. The Bavel migration was a lot more gradual, a lot more historical and political. Ezra leads a delegation of people, and they sojourn by the river. They are provided protection by local kings and noblemen. But the bookends of history have the Jewish people returning to their land through an elevator, through a shaft, through a not just a geographic relocation, but a historical intervention, a sundering of history, a upheaval of history that's connoted by the term Nasasi es yadi. So the term is literally, and it appears several times in Tanakh, three or four times, refers to an oath. And that oath and the graphic association of a lifted hand is important for the context of Mitzrayim, but it's a double entendre. It also refers to an elevated hand, which implies intervention, relocation, and historical upheaval.